Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
We're got the band back together
today. Yeah, we got the band together. We're having some fun on a Wednesday. Good things coming up for you, everybody. We're going to get into some great inventions that you might not have known were invented here in Wisconsin, and some you might. We'll come up with that list in a little bit. We're also going to get into a little bit later the top activities kids want to do with their parents and more. That's coming up for you. Right now, though, we kick off with some entertainment news, and we're going to start with Hallmark movies. It's that time of year again. Hallmark's annual Christmas in July program kicks off Saturday. Besides the return of fan favorite movies, there will be a new reality series called Christmas at Sea.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
got to see what this is. Christmas at Sea.
I don't like that.
You don't like that.
No, I'm not a reality TV person, you know that.
Neither.
So
yeah,
for me,
yeah.
I'd rather watch the Hallmark movie that just has a different name but the same.
Christmas at Sea featuring stars. I don't know any of these people. It just says it's featured. It doesn't tell you what it's about. Okay. It just sees a bunch of some, I guess, celebrities. I don't know who these people are, but at sea. Okay.
I had been hearing about the Christmas in July thing, though.
Yeah. It premieres Monday night, and it's a four-part docu-series about the Hallmark superfans who went on the very first Christmas cruise last November. There will also be the TV premiere of Unwrapping Christmas Film Series. It's a collection of four movies that were originally only available to stream on Hallmark Plus. So they weren't available on cable. Now they're showing up on cable. Another Hallmark Plus exclusive is coming to TV. It's an eight-episode limited series called Holidazed. The complete schedule can be found at HallmarkChannel.com. These movies are, you know, hit or miss for people, even people that enjoy them. People that really look forward to these movies and stuff, and they seem to be hit or miss. I will say, as somebody who, you know, has never watched one second of any of these, and it's not, they're not geared towards me. They don't need me. They're not,
no,
they're looking at me.
They're not.
I like that they do this. I really do. There is a market for this that hasn't been tapped into for a very long time, and they're doing that. And they're giving a lot of work to a lot of writers and a lot of actors and a lot of stagehands and a lot of people that wouldn't have a job otherwise or wouldn't have as much work.
I can't say that I engage in the July thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not mm-hmm. a huge TV person. But in, you know, when November, December hits, to me, it's just part of, like, the festiveness of, even if it's just on in the background. Like, I don't have to sit down and, you know, be intently watching. But for me, there's something about that, I don't know, that holiday motif in the lane. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's different. Like, I don't know. I like it.
They remind me of Christmas music. Like, just having it on in the background. You're not listening intently to every song. You're just having that background noise. They seem a little
bit
like that.
Part of the, to me, it's just part of, like, the atmosphere or the aura that you create.
They've got a whole section for it at their website. Again, you can go over there to check out more. HallmarkChannel.com. Enjoy, everybody. And let's say be on the lookout maybe for me. I might be in one of those movies one day. They audition a lot, and my agent is very on those things, so we'll see. Toby Keith is still giving back even after his passing. The 21st annual Toby Keith and Friends Golf Classic just concluded, and they raised $1.4 million for the Toby Keith Foundation, which benefits OK Kids Corral.
Amazing.
The OK Kids Corral organization that provides aid to children and families who are receiving medical care for critical illnesses. I touched on this story on the Sunrise Show the other day. I'm bringing it back just because I was able to do a little bit of a follow-up on this one. Our state, like every state in the union, is seeing cuts to programs, many of them that help out people in the gray areas of life, and many of them that affect after-school programs and just in-school programs and everything. This organization is one of those ones that the OK Kids Corral is an organization that provides aid to children and families receiving medical care for critical illnesses. They saw that this is another one of those things that we are seeing cuts in. And so they are doing even more efforts for this and doing even more work to try to help out with this, to fill out those gray areas that are, quite bluntly, and this is just me speaking here, our government doesn't think is a need, doesn't seem to care.
This foundation, though, has been doing this for a long time. I mean, it's really awesome.
And you worry... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just the ability to leverage, you know, from an event, right, from a golf event, to leverage, you know, that quantity of dollars to continue to make those impacts is remarkable.
Like or dislike whatever you feel about the guy, I was a fan of Toby Keith, more so just him as a person than the music, but I'm a fan of his music too. There's a reason I have his song playing the intro to Playmakers and everything. But I wonder sometimes with these things that celebrities start off, if they become even more important and vital after their passing. You know, you worry, well, Toby Keith passes, how popular is the Toby Keith, you know, golf classic still going to be? You know, he's not there anymore. He isn't able there to promote it and some of those things. Oftentimes, like with this one, it seems like it's become even more popular with his passing. And maybe that has to do a little bit with we lost him too young, you know, some of that, I don't know. But it's pretty darn cool to see.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Regardless, it doesn't matter what the reasons are or anything like that. The fact that it's not only still going, but that's $1.4 million that these kids wouldn't see, this organization, these families wouldn't have without it. In addition to the Golf Classic, they had a silent auction, a Toby Keith limited edition military guitar sold for $35,000, which is pretty cool. That'd be awesome to have. But Terry, if I had known about this, I may have gone bankrupt just trying to get my hands on a cowboy hat signed by George Strait. That went for $7,000.
I can't believe it wasn't more.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Like, did they cap it? Because I can't. Like, well, I'm not kidding here. Like, that's, I could see spending a lot. If I got like Bill Gates money, I could see.
But you also,
and
I mean,
it's for charity. You know, it's not just for me.
The average Joe that's golfing in this golf tournament, either.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So while we may be more in awe of those collectibles, they might not be.
I can't think. Like, it's one thing to have a cowboy hat signed by George Strait. That's pretty darn cool. That's the king right there. That's pretty cool alone. But then you get to say, oh yeah, Toby owned it before me. Like, that's pretty cool. The event has raised $20 million in 21 years. They've been running it. So big thank you to Big Daddy, man.
So about $1 million a year. That's awesome.
Really incredible. Yeah. Really incredible. Be on the lookout for next year's. They're already getting that one set up and everything. So it does look like it will go into a 22nd. We don't say this very often in the middle of the week, but it is, of course, a holiday week, and we're seeing something coming back to the movie theaters, the 4th of July big movie. Having a big movie to premiere on the 4th of July weekend. Kind of went away from that for a little while, and it's starting to come back more and more. And that was before the pandemic that they kind of went away. I think a lot of people use that as this benchmark of, oh, this changed this in entertainment or industries. The 4th of July weekend's been dying since Wild Wild West. Like, it's been faded for a while. For a long time, people were just looking to be out of town and do things. And if you're traveling, you're probably not going to the movies. You know, you got other things to do. You're seeing the sights and all that. We're seeing now that Hollywood is seeing that again as a beacon of, oh, we can have movies. But not just that. You're going to notice. Right now, we got Jurassic Park Rebirth. That's the big one that's being.
Okay. It actually come out on Friday?
It comes out today.
It's out. Okay.
This is the fourth Jurassic Park movie and the seventh in the Jurassic Park franchise. That is insane. How many times can you make a movie about the dinosaurs got loose? Like, yeah, I don't know. Here's a quick a recap of the second trilogy in the first Jurassic World, the park. Isla Nublar is overrun by dinosaurs. Do you really? I don't need to go through this, do I? I don't really need to. Like, if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. If you don't know, the last thing you want is for me to give you a synopsis of the other movies.
And if you haven't cared about it for the first six or seven,
right,
like,
yeah,
you're not going to know.
I will say one
unless
thing.
It's raining on the fourth. You might care.
Well, one thing I'll say to that point, Terry, if you haven't seen the other ones or any of these movies, it does look like this one you can jump into and you'll be fine. You didn't need to see the previous ones and everything. I feel like that's one thing that they seem to do a pretty good job with these. I also feel like, you know, just leave it alone. just stop already.
Well, people keep going.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, they're still doing it. The series was actually going to end. They were wrapping up because when they brought it back, it wasn't doing that well. But then this most recent one did well, so of course they're going to make another one. It does star two of my favorite actors in the game right now, Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali. I love Scarlett Johansson. Anything she does, I'm checking out. That Rupert Friend and Jonathan Bailey from Bridgerton is also also in this one. They are all over the world. It doesn't look like they're at the park. Yeah, Jurassic World now, because they're not even at the park anymore, so it's all over the world. The other thing I will say about this, and I've seen like two or three trailers of it already. Whether you see this movie or not, whether you like these movies or not or anything, the technology and where they've gotten with the special effects and everything, I get a little bit, you know, burnt out from it when it's just that, when a movie is nothing but green screen, it's all special effects and all that. Movies like this where they're mixing the world and they're using real world film and incorporating a dinosaur into the ocean or something like that, it is just incredible.
It is unreal.
It is insane what they're able to pull off nowadays with this. And it's like that alone is kind of worth seeing the movie to me, just as somebody who is interested in those things.
And you know what that really surfaces is like when you're trying to get your kids to watch an action movie or adventure movie from like the 80s.
Yes.
And they're like, why does it look like that? And back then it was like something else. And now it does, they don't even compare.
It's so weird to think of movies that were so game changing. And then you go back and watch them. Like I think Terminator 2 is a really good example. That liquid forming and stuff, like it was just game changing. Nobody, we never. Oh, that's the height. We're never going to top this. And then, like a couple of years later, it's like, oh, that's old. That's weird. Well, we got into that. I want to talk a little bit about this with Seth tomorrow, but I did want to mention it to everybody. If you are looking to make some plans, you're going to get through a long weekend, and you are looking for something to do this weekend that is a little bit more of a break, maybe. This is actually kind of cool. So George Clooney recently has been on Broadway doing a show that's an important one, I think. The biggest thing on Broadway isn't the Stranger Things musical, which I don't know if a lot of people know, but there's a Stranger Things musical. It's a straight play about the history of television news. It stars George Clooney, so there is that that is bringing a lot of people there. But the success of Good Night and Good Luck, which is based on the movie that he directed back in the day. The movie was not a big grossing movie or anything like that. It was out during the Harry Potter movies and stuff, so it was never going to bring in a huge gross, but incredibly well acted and a very important movie. It really dives into not just the history of TV news and television news and all that, but the importance of television news, the importance of journalism. And I mean real journalism. I mean real reporting. How important that is and how vital it was then. Now, flash forward to 2025, where we have all these fears of AI, fake news, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are a billion outlets out there. Everybody's got a podcast.
So is that what do you think that that's what this show is? Is a like a timeline? Like,
well, this is based on that time in that era and talking about that and how important it was in the moment in the 50s and all that with the Red Scare and some of those things. And they brought it back because it's just so prevalent now. And they did this on Broadway, and it's been very successful. And one of the cooler things that I have seen in quite a while, I think at least, is that you're going to get to catch this out yourselves, and you don't even have to travel to New York and spend $1 billion. Sunday, I believe it is. Now my computer keeps moving on me. I apologize, everybody. It is going to be on CNN this Sunday, and it'll be streaming on their Max as well. Max.com. 7 o'clock Saturday. I'm sorry. On Saturday at 7 o'clock Eastern time, it'll be playing simultaneously on HBO on Max and on CNN's website. You don't need a subscription. There, you don't have to pay anything for it. You just get to watch a Broadway play starring one of the better actors of our generation on TV.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that they're doing that. It's really impressive to me. Because they could easily, and granted, they ain't doing this for free. I'm sure they got some advertisers on it and everything else. But it speaks to, hey, we think this isn't so important. We're going to put it out there for everybody. We're not going to put it behind a paywall. We're not going to only put it on a streaming service. We're putting it on everything.
Well, and let's try it, right? I mean, let's see how it goes.
Yeah. And I think a very cool thing about that is you go ahead and give it a shot. If you don't like it, flip it. Yeah. Does anybody else ever do this though? When I do pay for something, like even if it's bad, I gotta sit through it.
Yeah, you paid for it.
I'm gonna get my money's worth out of this. That looks pretty cool.
Remember when you rented like what was a really like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and you still watched it?
Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Because you spent $250 renting it?
So right. Did want to touch on this too. We got some great plays going on locally here in Wisconsin Rapids with our WRCT, and one of them coming up at the next week is the 2025 teen summer production West Side Story. This is going to be directed by Susan Becker. A shout out to her. They did something really cool with the kids shows this summer where they broke it down by ages. So for this one, you've got kids 12 to 19. They're going to be taking on the school edition of West Side Story, one of the more famous plays in the last 40, 50 years. The production dates are July 10th and 11th and 12th at 7 o'clock. Then they'll wrap up on July 13th with a 2 o'clock matinee. You can get your tickets now. You can see who's in the cast and find out more by going to WRCtheater.org. I encourage you to do that, everybody. Support these kids taking a great show. I will let you know that there is no such thing as a bad kids show. Every one of them are great. There is no such thing. So you're guaranteed a great show and a great time and a great atmosphere. Head on over to WRCtheater.org. Support these kids. Buy local, support local, and check out West Side Story. I really look forward to that. That's going to be really good. I don't know seeing adults do it. I've seen it so many times. I don't know if it really hits me anymore. But something about kids and teenagers doing it. Like, here's the thing, too, about this. I don't know that we've ever really seen a production of West Side Story done right. It's supposed to be done by teenagers. It's supposed to be done by young people.
True.
Usually you got 18, 19, or you know, even 23, 24-year-olds trying to play teenagers. And that's where I think the play misses oftentimes. I think the play is so relevant for 2025, but you got to cast it right. I think you really need to do that. It's the same thing with a lot of things, like Spider-Man. The Spider-Man role. Forever, you had like 25, 26-year-olds playing Spider-Man, a kid in high school. Or when we were kids, did anybody, even in high school, Terry, did you believe that Luke Perry was in high school? Like, I mean, like, I know you might have wanted to, but with that hairline, come on.
I mean, he wasn't in my high school.
No. But I think when they cast things right, like they had with this show, you really get a different experience. Even if you've seen the movie and seen West Side Story done in productions and everything, I don't think you've seen it like this, where you've got actual young people doing it that really can understand some of the lyric or some of the writing of it.
And let's get out and support our local kids.
Yeah, get to WRCtheater.org and check that out, everybody. When Terry and I come back, we got this great article we're going to dive into. 5 things you didn't know were invented in Wisconsin. Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, 80s edition. Don't know if... had to look it up. Sunglasses were not invented in Wisconsin, Terry.
It's hard for me to not start singing when that starts.
I want you to.
Keep my mic off.
I will not turn it off, everybody. I'll have it off. I swear. Yeah, go right ahead. You got full reign. Shout out to our friends at Up North News. Encourage you to go to their website, or upnorthnewswi.com. Check out some of the great stuff they're doing. Sign up for their newsletter. And while you're at it, get over to WFHR.com and sign up for our newsletter. We got a new edition for you showing up tomorrow in your email box. Our friends at Up North News, Christina Laurie, does great reporting, great work, great writer. I put this article together a while ago. Been waiting to dive into it, and I thought, well, Terry's here. This is a good one right now. When you think Wisconsin's, most people think of beer, brats, badgers, and some of those things. But you should add 3 other B's to that list. Blenders, burgers, and bone marrow transplants.
not in any particular order.
No, maybe not.
I know the burger one. I was really wondering if that was going to be on the list.
So I wanted to get into some that were their article here about the 5 that they think a lot of people may not be aware of. But there is other inventions I want to dive into, too. So to touch on that, yes, the hamburger. In 1885, Charlie Nagin, also known as as Hamburger Charlie, is credited with selling the first meat patties at the annual Seymour Fair. Legend has it he decided to put his patties between 2 buns to make them more profitable.
Smart. And if you drive through Seymour, it says home of the hamburger.
Yeah. I got to check that out. I love when places have that. And since I was a little kid, anytime I'm going into a city, I love seeing that welcome to sign or anything. The blender. I did not know this one.
I didn't know that
this
either.
This was new to me. We're going back to 1922. Racine native Stephen Popolowski invented the first blender, which became the ostracizer. His product was sold in drugstores and used for malted milkshakes for many, many years.
Very cool.
President Roosevelt asked UW-Madison economist and professor Edwin Witte to help solve the country's poverty problem, specifically among the elderly. It's a fascinating story, and you can read more about that when I encourage you to, but Social Security is where this comes from, and that was also invented here in Wisconsin in 1935. So certainly not only something that we should be holding on to and tightly and keeping an eye on for many, many reasons, but if you need another one, take some pride in it, Wisconsinites. I mean, that's yours.
We've got burgers, milkshakes, and money.
And something touching on something we did earlier, stereo headphones. Going back to 1958 for this one. Originally created as a gimmick for his portable phonograph demonstrations, Milwaukee native John Koss headphones were a turning point for the audio industry. Up until that point, headphones were never used for music listening, only for communication.
Interesting.
Wow. Wow. As somebody who has had at least 10,000 pairs of headphones in my lifetime and used them.
You should take better care of yourself.
I really should. They're an integral part of my job. They're one of the few things I will spend money on.
Remember the Sony Walkman campaign?
Oh, yes.
I mean, that was more about the portability, I think. But just like the super cool guy with the headphones.
The headphones, yes. And maybe that's part of where it comes from too, Terry, about my need of these things. I don't know. How about TurboTap, a little more of a newer invention, going back to 2004. Green Bay native Matt Yokel came up with the idea in 1995 while waiting in line for a beer at a UW-Madison Memorial Unit Terrace. Fast forward 9 years, and he created a device that pours beer faster, decreases the amount of foam on top, and reduces spillage. So there you go.
That's genius.
TurboTap, yeah. That does feel like, of all of these, the most Wisconsin invention you could have. But that's a great one and a great article. Again, you can read more about this and other great work at upnorthnewswi.com. Encourage you to check that out. Bookmark that page. But we know that that's not the only things invented here in Wisconsin. Famously, the first American kindergarten started here in 1856. Was started, of course, in Watertown. How about the typewriter in 1869? Invented by Milwaukee newspaper man and politician Christopher Latham, Latham and Scholes, back in 1867. The rights for his invention were sold to Remington Company shortly after that. This is one that I don't think is talked about a lot, or maybe it is. In 1873, the invention of the automobile. The Reverend John W. Carhart built a steam-propelled automobile called the Spark at Racine. In 1908, at the International Automobile Exposition in Paris, France, Carhart was addressed as the father of automobiles and given a cash reward and certificate of honor for his invention.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
I wonder what that cash reward was. Like a dollar?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, relative to the time, of course. Right. But you know what I mean? Like, you just wonder what that was.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's a really good question. How about the first auto race at 1878? The state legislator offered $10,000 to the inventor of a machine that could move from Green Bay to Madison under its own power. The race was won by Alexander Gallagher of Oshkosh. The vehicle's average speed was 6 miles an hour. And you know, they were like, this is too fast.
Right? Hang on.
I'm getting out.
You don't even have to tuck and roll at that speed.
The driver did stop along the way to demonstrate the vehicle's power and to make repairs. But
power.
While he was going along, it actually would have been faster, but so many people were like, hey, what is that?
You know? He probably didn't even have to park it to do the repairs. He just walked along.
Right, yeah. of course, a couple of them. The first Ringling Brothers show, of course, most of us been here right know that. The first Ringling Brothers performance was in Mosinee in November 27th. The invention of malted milk, or the milkshake, famously, we've talked about that many times around here. That was invented by William Horlick in Racine back in 1883. Racine's got a couple of these. Got a number of these. How about the invention of the first cast iron bathtub? I have heard that one, but only from a long time ago, I would say. That was the first animated cast iron plumbing fixtures were manufactured in Sheboygan by John Michael Kohler. What about the birthplace of Flag Day? in 1885, especially as we're gearing up for the 4th of July here and everything. Bernard J. Siginard, a 19-year-old teacher and pupils at Stony High Hill in Ozark County, celebrated the birthday of our flag June 14th, 1785. National Flag Day was proclaimed by President Woodrow Wilson back in 1916, so long before.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And the first successful electric commercial streetcar. Appleton operated an electric streetcar railway in August 16th of 1886. That's really cool. That is pretty impressive. And there are a lot of these. How about 1917, the longest running radio station? A University of Wisconsin experimental station called 9XM transmitted radio signals, later known as WHA. The station has existed longer than any other. Wow. Even longer than us here at WFHR, where we're getting ready to celebrate 85 years in November. Shameless Woo! Plug. Shameless
yeah,
plug.
Take it.
Got to get it in there. And there's plenty more out there. Go ahead and share yours. Maybe your favorite one, or maybe just ones that we didn't mention. We'd love to hear from you. Everybody, reach out to us through the Civic Media app. We'll be back after our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. More show coming up on 97.5 FM WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 80s edition of the show. I got to get these in here while we can, everybody.
It's like the Corey Hart edition.
It kind of is. I got two of them in there. I forget sometimes that he had two big hits.
Hey.
Summertime is here, which means your kids are out of school looking for fun. If you work from home or suddenly find yourself feeling a little guilty for not having enough time to spend with them, you are not alone. And your kids feel it too. In a study from a few years ago, 70% of kids said that their parents are too distracted. And here's what a psychologist said about it. During the day-to-day, we quite easily slip into routines and forget to make space for the quality time together. So a breakaway with the family, whether it's a midweek or weekend, it's a great opportunity to switch off and engage in fun activities with your kids. One of the things that they're really encouraging with this is the idea of really, really like locking in, not checking your phone or for work emails or things like that. But when you are doing activities, whether it's sitting down for dinner or going to the Grand Canyon, really being engaged.
Where'd you pull that from?
I don't know. My brain's been doing that all morning.
Don't you think, though, I completely agree with this. Being intentional. We're not suggesting that you quit working, right? But, do your work when you're at work. And sometimes you have to follow up. But you also can be strategic about if you made a commitment to your kids or you have time together, spend it with them.
Yeah. One thing I will say that I wish, and this is from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. You can find the complete article there. And I agree with you. I agree with this article. I agree with these kids. I also hope that there is some understanding with all of that. You know, that most parents that are doing this are not doing this because they choose this over this. They're doing this because this is a responsibility. This is the thing that I have to do. Just like being a parent, imagine anytime a parent has to make a decision, and I don't think a lot of people like yourself, Terry, have to imagine very hard for this. You do it every day. Number one job to me, being a parent. That's number one before anything else. Although the electric bills do. So I have to pay the electric bill and I have to work a little bit, you know, to do that.
Oh, yeah, the work part. But I also think people spend a lot of time on social media or playing a game on their phone or, you know, whatever. Do that after your kids are in bed at night if that's something you can't live without. I mean, I agree there is a reasonableness and there needs to be some grace for things. You know, sometimes you do get a work call that you have to take or you have to set aside some time to pay bills. But, you know, you also could involve your kid in what you're doing. You know what I mean? I don't know. I see people all the time, whatever. They're out to eat, but they're scrolling social media while they're with their family. Yeah. Really?
There's the whole category that I kind of wanted to wrap on there is that – because everybody needs a break. Everybody needs a release in some of those things. You got to choose when. You got to pick those times better and everything. Because I will say, as somebody whose kids are in their mid to late 20s and doesn't hear from them enough. I'm joking. They're great. They're great kids. But I could never hear from them enough. And so, that is something that happens a lot quicker than you realize. It's an overnight thing almost, it feels like. And so that time when you do have them young, take advantage of that.
But then imagine even with your adult kids. Let's say you make a, you know, make a date with one of them to meet for dinner. And then the whole time through that dinner, you know, where you're talking 90 minutes, right? Like the whole time they're scrolling on there. It's like, come on.
Yeah. And I think that to that point, Terry, both parties, you know, kids,
when kids parents, are adults. Oh, yeah.
Got to be able to be okay with this and understanding of it. And that's one of those things, too. We're helping out kids because one day you might be a parent and you're going to be, you have those moments of epiphany where like, oh, that's why mom or dad did this. That's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trust me on that one. I've had plenty of those. Here are the top 10 activities kids want to do with their parents and more. It doesn't look like they're in any particular order, so just starting at number one, going to the beach. That sounds nice. I have not been swimming yet this summer, and it's killing me. I got to get out there. Get to the lake, get to the beach, get to the ocean, whatever you got to do. And bring the kids.
Don't leave the kids at home.
Don't leave them at home.
They want to come along.
Kevin! exercise together. That's an interesting one. And that doesn't mean necessarily getting to, you know, pumping iron or anything like that.
No, go for a bike ride.
Yeah. Play sports together is another good one. Yeah. Very similar to the other one. Go into the pool. So these top four that we have are all interchangeable, it feels like. But they're all
good.
Yeah. Go into the movies. There's a good one. And go to the movies and laugh at the movie. Laugh at the, what have you. Play at the park is another big one. Going camping feels like, and again, I've never been camping, so I need to do that, and it's something that I don't know what I'm talking about. But of all these, it feels like, well, how can I cram all of these activities into one? And camping feels like you're going to go swimming, you're going to get some exercise, you're going to...
I think it also, though, is bigger than all of those other ones. You know what I mean? Like,
more,
the other ones, I feel like, are just, you know, you could jump in the car and go.
Yeah. You want to go to the movies? We'll go to the movies. You want to camp? It takes a little more planning.
You just got to plan a little bit. Yeah.
Take a day trip to the zoo, museum, or amusement park. While, you know, some of those things do take a little more planning and everything, if you're here in town or even in some of the other cities we have in our listening area here, you might have a local zoo, and that's always good to stop by. I have a hard time believing it. My kids, I tested this with my little ones when they were like 5 and 6 and everything, and because we lived near the zoo here at the time. And I'm like, all right, let's see how much they enjoy the zoo back-to-back days and some of that. They were fine.
Yeah, they don't
they
care.
Enjoy, they enjoy. It was like they didn't even happen the day before and stuff. I don't think you can go to the zoo enough. That's a good one. And if you are doing things like that, maybe you go to one section one day, one the other, or something like along those lines. How about playing video games? There are going to be rainy days this summer. There are going to be days where you cannot get outside. That can be a fun one. I will also recommend board games. We've seen a huge rise in people playing
puzzles.
Board games again.
Yeah.
Puzzles are great. Puzzles are a good one. Puzzles are their own board game.
Have you seen these? It's like a, I guess like a party, but you have a team of four and it's a race. Like each table has to get the puzzle put together.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
it's
good
like
idea.
It's like happening all over at, you know, like social, you know, maybe at a winery or a microbrewery or, you know, something like that. But they have like these regular weekly puzzle challenges.
And so everybody has the same puzzle and who can put it. Oh, I like that. That's kind of, oh man, my mom definitely hasn't heard about
and
that.
And I don't know for sure if they're all, the one that I happened to just, I mean, we didn't play, but we happened to be there, didn't know about it. Everybody had the same puzzle, but I've also heard of ones where it's like the same puzzle manufacturer, same number of pieces, but maybe not the same picture, you know, but I mean like the same idea.
That seems cool.
Yeah.
That seems like a good one.
Something different.
And go shopping is on this list, which, you know, you could be shopping for school supplies, possibly. Something we'll be getting into in a couple of minutes with Terry and the United Way. Get into that. But there's other things out there. I know that this list is not everything that's on that list, but I know fishing is a big one for a lot of people out here. I know especially even in my family and I, my papa and I, was a big bonding thing for me when I was a kid, was him teach me how to fish. Boating, getting out there, skiing, doing things like that, and getting out on the water and any water activities.
You know, pretty common, all of these, is getting outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or getting, not that you... I mean, of course, there's plenty of activities that you can do at home and you should do at home. But a lot of these are, you know, going to a different environment, right? And enjoying that time together. So like if you take your kid to the park, spend that hour with them at the park. Don't sit down and, again, hop on your phone and let them play. Play with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. really, and look at it this way too. Not only are all those updates and all those things going to be there for you when you come back to your phone, but it might actually give you something to look forward to, because the people that we're talking about here, it feels like, when do you ever get surprised by an update or anything? You're constantly staring at your phone, so you're always seeing everything.
Yep.
I mean, might give you something to look forward to. I don't know. Take a break. Your eyes will be thankful for it, and your kids will really be thankful for it. We are going to take a quick time out. We'll come back. We're going to wrap up talking some great local events in our area, a little update from the United Way, and plenty more on the way for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James with you for one last segment. Going to take it to the top of the hour. Get you ready for a great day of civic media radio ahead. Stick around, everybody. Good stuff coming up for you here at 97.5 FM. Get into our schedule a little bit. We'll have a great Rapids report available for you today, streaming exclusively. Well, streaming at WFHR.com. You can find it. We'll be being joined today by with County Sheriff's Department. Going to have Sheriff Sean Becker coming in with us and looking forward to hanging out with them. We will also have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. Encourage you to go to their website and check out more. You can go to over to the city's website if you want, or otherwise wrc-cm.org, or throw into your search bar on YouTube Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to the good work they're doing over there. Looking forward to hanging out with them a little bit later.
Yeah, always a great interview. Guessing you might hear some 4th of July.
Yeah, safety. Yeah. Well, looking forward to that. Sean always comes in here with his game face, man. He's got great stuff that lined up for us. And I want to also remind everybody that our WFHR newsletter is going to have a new edition available for you tomorrow. Get on over and sign up for it at WFHR.com. It's your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news. We are covering almost every single thing you can think of, but if there's stuff you're thinking of and we're not, let us know. Let us know in the comments, because we want to cover it. That's our job. Help us do our job and let us know about local events and things. WFHR.com. Check that out, everybody. Before we get into too many local events and get an update from the United Way, I did want to touch on one other thing that I want to hit on whenever I have an opportunity as we're leading into the 4th of July. And you're going to see some signs out in yards, along with a lot of other signs, but ones that are letting you know that a combat veteran lives here. And when you see those signs, where they're letting you know that, hey, maybe don't let off fireworks right here, right in this neighborhood, or right near this house. Or if you're going to, maybe give them a heads up ahead of time. The 4th of July is about celebrating America. It's about promoting freedom and showing the whole world this wonderful democracy, this wonderful experiment that we are doing here in this country that we started centuries ago. That it's still working. We're still here, and we're still doing it, and we're not going anywhere. We're always going to be here, and we're always going to celebrate this day. It's an important part to us to show to the world. It's important for us as locals, as fellow Americans, to show each other that we get this, to celebrate it with each other. Now, it doesn't mean that we all have to shake hands and sing Kumbaya, but it does mean that we do need to treat each other with respect, that we do need to look out for each other. Because that's what it's about, looking out for each other. Nobody gets through this world alone, and no American gets through a life in America without another American. And oftentimes a stranger, oftentimes somebody you don't even know. So get to know your neighbors, get to know the people in your area, and find out. And if there is somebody that is struggling with PTSD, or maybe there are animals in that area that struggle with it, or kids. One of the most American things you can do is not light off those fireworks. Especially at 2 in the morning or something like that. Thank you, Pam, for this. I appreciate it. If someone needs one of those signs, we have some extras here at WFHR and WRI. Come on, stop by, pick one up. And thank you to everybody who respects these signs. And a big thank you to our veterans out there and those struggling through this. I'm so thankful we're at it. This has been a problem for decades. We're just now starting to talk about it. Why? Because our soldiers don't complain. Our veterans don't complain. We need to do this for them. We need to look out for them. and help them with this. And I'm thankful to so many of our veterans out there that are doing one of the bravest things they can do in facing something like this and talking about it. So shout out to all of them, and shout out to everybody that is keeping this going. Also wanted to mention some great local concerts that are going on. We'll get to that in a moment, along with some other fun things. But Terry, I want to get an update from the United Way once more before we let you go for the day. How are things going over at the shop?
Everything's going great. We are looking for school supplies for our Stuff the Bus event that happens on Thursday, August 7th at Lunch by the River. If you are, you know, out and about shopping, if you have the opportunity to grab a few school supplies, we could definitely use those. Last year, we served almost 1,000 kids with school supplies here in Southwood County. And, you know, my expectation is that number will be similar. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a few more, a few less, but somewhere in that ballpark. And so, we are definitely in need of supplies. If you are wondering what are the most needed or where you can drop off supplies, all of that information can be found on our website at uwswac.org. There is a list. If you click on the Stuff the Bus banner, there's a list of most needed supplies. There's a list of drop locations. And actually, you can drop supplies right here at WFHR if you have those. And then all of our drop points will come together on August 7th, and we will then sort inventory and get those supplies ready to make their way into the hands of our local kiddos. So, you know, that's the biggest thing that we could use support on right now is school supplies.
We encourage you to find out more about that by going to uwswac.org. We'll be hitting on this as we get closer and closer to it, getting through the month here, and reminding everybody, hey, get the kids signed up, get them registered, and we'll certainly be looking into volunteers and that for when we are, stuff the bus, and we'll be doing that. I'm looking forward to it. Again, find out more at uwswac.org, and keep in mind, 211 is a resource that is always available to you. Find out more by going to their Facebook page, sharing their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Also wanted to mention that tomorrow, Seth and I will be diving into 4th of July celebration here in Rapids a little bit more in detail, get into some of the things going on with that. Programming-wise, we will not have a morning show for you on Friday, but we will at 9 a.m. have the Sunshine Polka Variety Show. Check that out from 9 to 10 and 10 to 11, a special patriotic edition, 4th of July edition of Seth Basin Music. Check that out as well, everybody. Raptor Baseball on your radio dial tonight. The boys of summer are back at it. 6:20, they're in Fond du Lac to take on the Dock Spiders. A record record moment yesterday for one of our pitchers. We're going to talk about that a little bit on Playmakers today. Be sure to join us from 4 to 5 for that. Will be your pregame for the Raptor game. Raptors are playing here at WFHR at 6:20 tonight on 105.5 WIRI. Playmakers will be going from 4 to 5. Sports director around here, Michael Comer, and I will be getting into a bunch of different things with the Raptors, what's going on with the Bucks, and some of the things that they are doing, touching on some local sports as well, all of that coming up for you. But we also want to talk about what you want to talk about. You really direct the show. You call up and join the conversation. We'll get into whatever you want to. Also wanted to remind everybody that it is a Wednesday. We know what that means. Bingo!
Bingo!
Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Join them for some great bingo, great fun, and know that while you're over there, you're putting back into your community, because that's what the Elks Lodge does. We appreciate our friends over there. Join them at 430 West Jackson Street. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Enjoy, have fun, and good luck to everybody. I always forget to mention good luck. My Nana would be mad at me if I didn't mention good luck about bingo. And a quick reminder that the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market is back at it. They're open Thursdays and Saturdays from 8 to 1 along the beautiful Wisconsin River at 221st Avenue South. They do a nice job of blocking that off.
Yeah,
and everything.
I was down there last week. It was great.
It's really fun. Get on over there, buy local, support local, and take in that event, everybody. And, of course, Lunch by the River going on tomorrow. Going to be a good one. Klein Creek going to be down there performing. Going to have some great food trucks. Join us every Thursday at Veterans Memorial Park from 11:30 to 1 for Lunch by the River. Shout out to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce for that. Some world good stories Terry wanted to touch on here. A Humane Society volunteer in Hawaii posted a video of a 10-year-old dog named Princess who had been waiting to get adopted for over 2 years, and now she's got her fairy tale ending. They went through a Starbucks drive-thru to get a pup cup, and the video went viral. After 791 days, she finally got adopted.
Aww.
The shelter is in Maui, and the lady who adopted her lives in Ohoa. I think that's how you pronounce it. But a pilot saw the video and offered to fly her there for free.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh, and the video of the dog flying is awesome. The video's great. That's really good. It's also a great reminder of tomorrow being our Pet of the Week with the South Dakota County Humane Society. Maybe we'll get a good story like that from them.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Probably won't involve a helicopter ride or something.
I mean, Denise... Maybe go get a pup cup on the way. Make sure you video it.
Yes, yeah. And how cool is this? Humans feed wild animals all the time, but a new study found killer whales are also trying to feed the U.S. There are at least 34 documented cases of orcas offering food to humans. They've been seen bringing up to boats or even right up to people on the water. They usually wait for about 5 seconds to see if they want the food or not, and then take it back if they don't. In a few cases, people have actually accepted the food. That's wild.
I love it.
That is wild.
It's also a little scary.
Yeah, a little bit. A little column B. Great show today, Terry. Have a good week.
You too.
And a happy 4th to you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.